We're doing Midrash that's called Midrash Maaseh Yehudit. It's quoted in the Sefer Chemdat Hayamim. He says he copied it from an old work. It's also quoted in Rav Eisenstein's work, Otzar Midrashim. There are different versions for this Midrash, and this is a lengthy one, so we're going to learn this one. The Me'am Lois brings this, and the Ben Ish Chai quotes from it, and the Kaf HaChaim does too. So it seems to be valid, even though there are those who point out that there are areas that there's room to question exactly what the validity of this really is. So we're learning it for the sake of learning something interesting, but we won't give too much weight to its validity because that's yet to be verified. And we'll dedicate our learning of the Medrash to Avraham Yisrael ben Rosh ben Avraham, also known as Captain Barros Basto, the Portuguese Dreyfus. Vayhi bimei... should I just translate? Yeah, we'll just translate. It was the days of Eliponi, the Greek king. He was a great and powerful king. He conquered many states and powerful kings, and he destroyed their castles and their churches. And it was 10 years into his kingdom, and he decided to head up to conquer Jerusalem, the holy city. And he gathered 120,000 soldiers, foot soldiers, and 92,000 archers. And the king said to them, "The Jews who live in Jerusalem, they're strange in their religion. They don't do the way of the king. And the city of Jerusalem, that's a city of deceit. You won't find any honesty in it. Let's ascend upon it in war and destroy, annihilate the people of Israel." And one of the kings who was with him, they said to him, "Don't fight the God of the world. The God of Israel is the potent of all potent ones. He is the brave one at war. He rules the world with his might. And he watches what's going on among the nations. Those who try to fight his nation, he doesn't let go of his nation. He doesn't let go of his territory. Not only that, whatever nation there is in the world, they're all just called Gentiles. Israel's called his nation, those that are close to him. So who thinks that he'll start with them? Go look at what happened to your predecessors. Look at what happened to the other kings. They tried to destroy them, and how did they end up? Look at Pharaoh, look at Sancheriv, look at the other kings. You and the nation that's with you will be destroyed. You won't be successful in fighting them. They're swifter than eagles, more braver than lions, and they are the bravest people that ever were. They are the famous brave warriors in the world." And when Eliponi heard that king, he got upset at him and he said, "Who thinks he's going to talk that way? Who thinks he's going to say that Israel are an awesome nation? Who thinks they're going to say they're bigger than me and that they could stand up to my soldiers? I have soldiers like the sea at the edge of the sea. What God throughout the lands was able to stand up to me? Who is it that thinks he's going to stand up to me? Hashem's going to save Jerusalem from my hands." And he got very upset, and he said, "Torture that king. How dare he speak that way and speak badly about the strength of my soldiers? He thinks that my soldiers won't be able to stand up to the Jews." And so he commanded the soldiers to put him in shackles and bring him to the camp of the Hebrews in suffering. And everyone should see this is what happens to someone who speaks good about the Jews. Now, give him over to the hands of the Jews, and then when we destroy the Jews, he'll fall together with them. He'll be among them. So they took him, they brought him to the camp of the Jews, and they returned. The king came to the streets of Jerusalem. He's in shackles. The Jewish generals found him, Uziah ben Micha the Kalmi, and they wondered what's going on, and they asked him, and he told them what happened, that he said that he spoke about how God and the Jewish people would be successful. And so the king said, "Give him over to the hands of the Jews, and when we just kill out all the Jews, we'll kill him too." He told them how the king assumed he would conquer, he would win, and spoke, he blasphemed against God. What the king had said, "No other God stood up to me. Why do you think God will stand up to me?" And when they heard that, they got scared. Oh, the king is intending on killing us all. They came to the temple. They bowed. They wept. They wailed. and they bitterly said, Hashem, the God of Israel, you who rests among the Kruvim, you're the potent one, you alone, above all the kings of the nations, above all the kings of the land, you're the one who created the heavens, the earth. Listen, look, see, hear the words of Eliponi. Look at how he blasphemed, look at how he cursed the camps of God's men. You are a living God, you are king of the world. Yes, these kings destroyed other nations. Yes, they conquered their lands. Yes, they burnt their gods, because their gods are not a god. They are the handiwork of man. They are stone, they are wood. Of course they destroyed them. But Hashem, please now save us from his hands. Pour out your wrath on the nations. They don't know you. These kingdoms don't call out in your name. Don't leave those who have faith in you. Don't leave them. And would you put down a person who has confidence in you in the hands of someone who has confidence in his horses? And when they finished their prayer, they comforted the king who was given into their hands. And they said, Hashem, the God of our God and the God of our fathers, that you mentioned his name and his might, he should assist you and protect you, and he should show you the downfall of this wicked enemy, as Hashem, our God, takes revenge, the revenge of Israel. And Hashem should be with you, you be with us as you see fit. And Uzziyahu came and welcomed him into his own home and made him a big party. And then the nation gathered and they prayed all night long and they asked Hashem to help them. The next morning, Eliponi commanded to attack. And he advanced with his 120,000 foot soldiers, 12,000 horsemen. Together they advanced towards the Jews. And when the Jews saw their tremendous numbers, they sat to the ground, they put earth on their heads, and they wept. They asked Hashem to save them from their enemies. They took their weapons, and they started sleeping on the paths that led up the mountain. They were thin paths, so even though the king had large numbers, they could only face them off one at a time. And when Eliponi started coming up the mountain, he found the pipes of water that were outside the city, and he said, destroy them. Don't let water enter the city. So the soldier said to the king, the Jews, they don't have confidence in their spears or their arrows or their bows, but what's going to hold them in place is the high hilltops and the high mountains. Now, if you want to overcome them, what you have to do is watch over the waterways so that they can't raise water up them. They're assuming that they'll win because they'll control the mountain, but you could win without a sword by just starving them out. The king liked the idea, and he put soldiers in charge of the waterways, and for 20 days they watched over the waters. And suddenly, after 20 days, there started being a shortage of water in Jerusalem. People started getting thirsty. Yeah?
Just a question. The king who was tortured, and even though which of the Jews he was non-Jewish?
Correct.
Now, which king was he in which kingdom?
Doesn't say.
And he just said some random king has got up and took a stroll over to this wicked king and said, by the way, you can't touch the Jews because of this and that.
He was one of the kings who was under this powerful king, meaning that there were many kingdoms who he controlled, and he was one of them.
Who was the powerful king?
His name was Eliponi.
Eliponi
is a Greek king.
Of which nation?
Greek. So the Jews gathered to Uzziah the general, men, women, young men, lads, they all came and said, God should judge us. Look how you harmed us. You didn't let us give in to the king, and now God's going to give us into his hands. We have no way of helping ourselves, and we're all going to die from thirst. And now let's just give ourselves over to the king. Isn't it better that we give ourselves as slaves to Eliponi and be able to serve Hashem rather than dying out of thirst? And we and our children and our daughters, we'll see everyone die like this and be destroyed. We testify by the heavens and the earth, the God of our fathers who's watching over us, that we demand right away you give over the city into the hands of the king, and at least if we'll die, it'll be a swift death. So when they heard this, the generals wailed, and they were embittered, they wept, and they called to Hashem saying, "We've sinned, Hashem, we've been wicked. Hashem, please don't be silent. Don't be silent at this time. Your enemies are so happy. Those that hate you have lifted their head against your nation. They've plotted and they've thought how to hurt those that are your cherished ones. They said, let's go annihilate them and the name Israel should never be known again. They said, let's go and conquer the house of God. They thought together, they got together in a covenant to come against you and us. Please, Hashem, the Father, the Merciful One, have mercy on your nation. We're your lot. Don't give us, who are the sons of your covenant, into the hands of the nations who don't know you. Why should the nations say, where is their God? And you, Hashem, with your great might and your pride, destroy those that rise against you. Do unto them as you did to Midian and Sisera and Yavin in the river of Kishon in the Kishon Valley. Just as they were destroyed in Ein Dor, they were destroyed completely. So too you should destroy them, like Orev and Ze'ev and Zevach and Salmuna. That's how they should be. So they wept, they cried, and Uzziah got up with tearful eyes and he said, strengthen yourselves, strengthen your hearts, my brothers, and we should hope for kindness from Hashem. Give us 5 days. If Hashem doesn't save us in these 5 days, then we'll do as you've said. So when they heard this, so there was a widow there named Yehudit, the daughter of Be'eri, and she was a very God-fearing woman. And Yehudit had a special room up in her house where she'd pray, and she'd sit there with the girls, and throughout her life she was fasting, and she was very beautiful, and whoever saw her liked her. And when she heard what Uzziah said, that in 5 days he's going to give the city over, so she called the Kohanim and Uzziah and Kalmi. They all came to her, and Yehudit said, what's going on here that Uzziah thinks he's going to give over the city to the enemies if he won't have a salvation in 5 days? Who are you to try Hashem? That's not the way to get kindness from Hashem. You're going to tell God within 5 days you have to solve this problem? You're going to arouse Hashem's anger. Hashem could do kindness whenever he sees fit. You're limiting his kindness and his mercy, that you're saying by this day you've arbitrarily picked, Hashem's going to answer what you want. God forbid, even after 5 days you don't leave the way of Hashem. Hashem's kindness is eternal, his mercy is eternal. Hashem, those that are good, they wait in silence for Hashem's salvation, because Hashem doesn't leave us forever. And when Hashem wants, he does it according to his kindness and his mercy. And 1 second he says this nation should have a bad time, and a second later Hashem could change the decree. So now let's do tshuva. Hashem has mercy. Let's ask forgiveness. And then let's weep and fast, and Hashem will forgive us. Because it's a dire time for Jacob, but we can be saved from it. If we do tshuva, then just as right now we're suffering because of their plan, so too ultimately we could be happy with Hashem's salvation. We're not as bad as our forefathers were. They left Hashem, they sacrificed to other gods, and that's why they were destroyed, and they were taken into captivity, and they became shamed by their enemies. But we're not that way. We've never gone after foreign gods. We've been after Hashem, and so Hashem will demand our blood from those who rise against us for the sake of His honor. So my brethren, you, the Kohanim, for Hashem, and the soul of Israel is all contingent on you. Strengthen yourself, strengthen your heart, strengthen the hearts of Israel. Tell them that our forefathers were brought in times of tests, and the tests were to see if they really loved Hashem. And you tell them, look, Avram stood up to his test and Hashem loved him. Yitzchak, Yaakov, all the forefathers, they were tested and they were found faithful to Hashem in spite of their suffering. And whoever didn't stand up to Hashem's test and complained, so ultimately they were the ones that were destroyed. They were the ones that were killed by the serpents. So look and see, when a person afflicts his son, it's out of love. So too Hashem, if he's afflicting us, it's not because he hates us, it's because he loves us. He's not going to give us in the hands of death. He's going to save us. Uziyah and the Kohanim said, okay, you're right. Everything you said is right. We've been wrong. We tried to limit God and tell Him by when He has to save us. So you pray for us. You're an honest woman. You're a God-fearing woman. And Yehudit said, I'm going to daven to Hashem for you, but you also have to daven to Hashem for me, and daven that Hashem helps me succeed in my plot, because I thought of how to take revenge from the Greeks. And that night, she said, I want you to set up the guards of the city and arrange that I and my servant can go out at night. And don't ask me where I'm going, but you continue davening to Hashem to save His people for the sake of His honor. And Uziyah said, you go in peace, and may Hashem fulfill your wish that you've asked Him, and may Hashem be with you to take revenge from His enemies. Amen. And Yehudit went into her room. She wore sack and ash, and she put earth on her head, and she bowed before Hashem, poured her heart out in fast and prayer and weeping before Hashem. And she said, Hashem, the God of Shimon and Levi, our forefathers, who you gave the sword in their hands to take revenge from the Gentiles that had defiled and revealed the shame of their sister Dina, and you gave the women of the enemy into captivity, their daughters, and all their loot was given in the hands of your servants who were zealous for your name. Hashem, please watch over me in accordance with your kindness, because your ways are justice and your justice is endless. Look into the camp of this evil enemy that has blasphemed, as you looked into the camp of Egypt when they chased after us and they were fully armored. And they were confident because of their chariots and horses that they'll be successful. And you looked into their camp, you scared them. You made it dark upon them. You had the depths cover them. They were sunk in the sea like a stone. And just as the Egyptians were sunk, so too these should be sunk. Hashem, my God, those who have confidence in their strength, in their chariots, and their horsemen, and their bows, and their arrows, those who take pride in their spears, and they don't know, they don't understand that you're the man of war. You arouse zealousness. You're the one who makes noises heard and overcome the enemies. Reveal your might as you did in the past. Pour out your burning anger on the nations that haven't recognized you, the kingdoms that don't call in your name, that they said, we will go and destroy the house of God. We will come to His temple and defile it. And they want to destroy the horn of your altar, sever it. And Hashem, please, do it for your sake, if not for our sake. Let their swords go back into their own hearts. Let their bows be broken. And this wicked one who's laying siege on us, you go before him and bring him down. Let him be caught in his own trap. Let his eyes fall in love with me. Let him be taken by let him be lovesick, and give my soul the strength to despise him, and in my hands the strength to destroy him. Good question. Think about it. Let him fall in his own entrapment, that wicked one. And let this be a commemoration for your great name, because you'll give him into the hands of a woman. And Hashem, you don't need the might of the sword. You don't need the might of the horse. You hate a wicked kingdom. You listen to the poor when they cry out. You listen to the impoverished and you save them. Hashem, have mercy on me. Accept my prayer. Listen to my calling, and don't be silent to my tears. Let me say the right thing. Let me think the right thing to save your temple. So the nations will all know that you're a living God and there are none but you. Yehudit finished her prayer. And after she finished this whole prayer, she got up from the place she had been praying, the place she had been bound before Hashem with her hands stretched to heaven. She called her servant and she went into the inside of her house. She took off the widow's clothing, she took off the sack, she bathed, she anointed herself, she put on beautiful perfume, she braided her hairs, she put a crown on her head, she wore precious clothing with gold and jewelry and engravings and earrings and rings. She made herself as beautiful as a woman could be with the 24 adornments, and Hashem gave her, Hashem gave her the capacity to look beautiful in the eyes of all who saw her. And Yehudit gave her servant a flask of milk and a flask of wine and a flask of oil and flour and bread and cheese, and she went. She came to the gates of the city, and Uzziah and the Kohanim met her. They had been waiting for them. She passed before them. They bid her go in peace, and may our God give you kindness in the eyes of all who behold you, and may Hashem fulfill your wishes, the wishes of your heart, and all your plans should be fulfilled for good. And Jerusalem, the holy city, should take pride in you, and your name should be among the pious ones and among the righteous one. And everyone blessed her and answered, Amen.
You get all these fancy clothes from?
She was a wealthy woman. Yehudit, Yehudit left the city with her maid. And when they went down the mountain, it was sunrise. They met the guards of the king Eliponi. And the guard caught her and said, Where are you coming from? Where are you going? She said to them, I am one of the Hebrew girls. I ran away from them because I know that they're going to lose and be given into your hands. So I said, let me go to the king Eliponi to give him some secrets from the Jews and to teach the soldiers how to attack and how they will succeed in conquering the city. And that way you'll succeed and no one will have to die in the battle. So when they heard that, they looked at her beauty and they saw how pleasant she spoke and they saw how intelligent she was. And they said, blessed is your logic. You saved us from death. You have such a good plan to come to our master. And you should know that in truth, when you come before him, he'll help you and you should find favor in his eyes. They brought her before the king. And when she came before him, he liked what he saw. He saw her beauty. He saw her glory. And his desire burned within him, and he started being lovesick for her. And his servants and everyone sitting there said, how could you hate the Hebrews? Look at what beautiful women they have. Of course we have to fight to conquer them. And when Yehudit saw the king sitting on his throne, she bowed before him. The servants told her to rise, that the king had said she should rise. And the king said to her, you be happy, don't worry. I won't want to kill anyone who wants to serve me, and I wouldn't lift my sword and my spear against your nation if they wouldn't have been disgusted with me. And now tell me, why did you run from them and come to us? And Yehudit said, we've sinned before Hashem our God, and that's why he told us in the hands of his prophets that this nation is going to suffer for their sins. And that's why the Jews are scared of you, because they have sinned before Hashem their God, and there's a heavy famine in the city, and so they think we're considered dead because we're so thirsty. And they agreed to slaughter their sheep and drink their blood. They thought that they could take holy animals, the animals that were destined to be sacrifices, and they they figured that they could eat them because what choice do they have? They're eating the flour, they're eating the wine, the oil that was designated for the temple. So now that they're doing that, for sure they're going to be lost and you're going to succeed. And once I knew that they're sinning like that, I ran away from them and God sent me to tell you. And I am Yehudit, your maid. I serve Hashem even as I'm here with you. And that's why I need to go out 3 times a day to pray before Hashem. And he will tell me when he will pay them back. And I'll come and tell you, because you'll be able to enter throughout the markets of Jerusalem and the Jews will be like a shepherd without, like sheep without a shepherd. No one will dare growl at you, because I was told I had a vision that you will succeed. And that Hashem is upset, and that's why he sent me to tell you that you will succeed. So the king liked what he heard, and the servants liked what they heard, and everyone was stunned by her wisdom, and they said, wow, we've never seen such a intelligent woman, such a beautiful woman, such a, how do you say,
charming
woman. And so the king said to her, God has done good with you that he sent you before me so that you'll give the people into my hands. And because you've said such good things, so if what you've said comes true, so you will be number one in the kingdom. Everyone will hear of you. And so the king said, bring her to my home. Give her my fancy foods. And Yehudit said, nope, your maid can't eat what you've commanded, lest I be punished. I can eat what I brought with me. So the king said, if you'll be missing something, what can I do for you? And Yehudit said, don't worry. Hashem won't let me be missing anything until he fulfills what he promised. So she asked for the following request. Tonight, I have to have permission to go out. And in the morning, I have to have permission to go out of the camp to pray before Hashem. And every night, she'd leave the camp and she'd go and immerse herself in the pool of water. And when she'd come out of the pool, she would pray and weep before Hashem that she should be successful to save the nation. And when she'd come back to the camp all pure, she'd sit down and eat her meal. On the third day, the king made a big party for all his servants. He told his eunuchs, who were in charge of all his concubines, he said, maybe go see if you can seduce Yehudit, that I could be with her. So the eunuch came to Yehudit and he says, don't be embarrassed from my master. Maybe you'll be happy to eat and drink with him in private. So Yehudit said, who am I? I wouldn't prevent him from anything good. Whatever would make him happy, whatever he likes to do, whatever he wants is good for me forever. And Yehudit went and wore her beautiful clothing. She stood before him. And when the king saw her beauty, so he again was struck by her beauty and became lovesick. So the king said to her, eat your bread happily, drink your wine with content, because I've loved you. You found favor in my eyes. And Yehudit said, I will drink because I'm so happy, the happiest day of my life. And so she ate and she drank, she ate, she sat and she drank, she opened the flask of milk and drank, and she gave the king to drink. And the king was very happy, he drank a lot of wine, more than he drank his whole life. And afterwards all the servants, everyone left, and the eunuch closed the door to the tent where Yehudit was with the king, and he left. And Yehudit was alone in the tent with Eliponi. And Eliponi fell into a deep slumber. And we'll pick up here? No, okay. Fine. Welcome to Machon Neir.
I have a question,
right? I have a lot of questions. It's not fair. This is mamish torture to them. So I just want to tell you, for more classes, you can visit machonmeir.net and 123torah.org and back to our story. Yehudit was alone in the tent with Eliponi. Eliponi fell asleep like a dead man. Yehudit told her maid, you go stand outside, watch before the tent. And Yehudit stood before the bed and she prayed with tears as her lips moved and you couldn't hear her voice. And she said in her prayer, Hashem, strengthen me, the God of Israel, let me take revenge, the revenge of your servants Israel. My revenge will strengthen the bolts of the gates of Jerusalem, your holy city. Support me, as you've said, and don't shame me. Let me continue with your might.